Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Did you bring your Bibles? Turn with me to Romans chapter 14. We're going to begin a brand new chapter, and we're going to expound verses 1 through 8. So let me get the board ready right up here. Mm-hmm. Praise God. And if you have your cell phones, put them on the off position. Amen. I've entitled this evening's message, Receive One Who is Weak in the Faith. Receive one who is weak in the faith. And as we begin this chapter, you notice that every chapter is almost like Paul the Apostle shifts gears. He pivots. He goes a different direction. And tonight, he's going to be addressing those who are weak in their faith, that we should not despise them, that we should not belittle them, that we should not confront them, that we should not be their enemy. Can I get amen? Amen. Just because they're weak in faith doesn't mean that they're not strong in the Lord. And so we're going to look at this, and we're going to see how the Apostle Paul, who wrote to the Roman church, addresses this issue that was in the church during that time, which 2,000 years later is the same today. Nothing's changed. I hope you know nothing's changed. You know, the only thing that I find that has changed, seriously, is technology.
Yeah.
But the heart is still the same. Our sinful nature is still the same. They just didn't have the modern things that we have today. They couldn't fly. They couldn't drive a car. They couldn't what? Send each other a text. They didn't have email. But yet, they still had issues of the heart, like we do. So this is what I love about Paul, because spiritual issues is what matters to God on how we conduct with one another and how we entreat one another. And so when we learn how to entreat one another, this is when God can use you in mighty ways. But if we're going to be mean-spirited, if we're going to be quick to judge, if we're going to be so quick to engage with contention, guess what? It's going to be hard for you to be used by God. Because you're going to lose them. Especially if they're weak in the faith. So, let's go to verse 1 of Romans 14. And it reads, Receive one who is weak in the faith. There it is. That's where I got my topic tonight. But not to look at this. But not to disputes over doubtful things. For one believes he may eat all things, but he who is weak eats only vegetables. Let not him who eats despise him who does not eat, and let him who does not eat judge him who eats. For God has received him. Uh-oh. Look at this. Who are you to judge another's servant? To his own master he stands or falls. Indeed, he will be made to stand, for God is able to make him stand. Wow. So, you know what God is saying real quickly? And we're going to get to this. Who are you to belittle someone that God could raise up? God picked us because we were the foolish things of this world to despise the wise. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Oh, come on. You know how you used to roll. God still chose you. Because he was going to do something mighty in our life. He was going to raise us up. He was going to pour into our life so that we could be used by the Master. Can I get amen? Look at verse 5 here. One person esteems one day, look at this, one day above another. Another esteems every day alike. Let each be fully convinced in his own mind. He who observes the day observes it to the Lord. And he who does not observe the day, to the Lord he does not observe it. He who eats, eats to the Lord, for he gives God thanks.
And he who does not eat to the Lord, he does not eat and gives God thanks. Look at verse 7 and 8. For none of us lives to himself, and no one dies to himself. For if we live, we live what? To the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. Wow. Thank you, God. So let's go to verse 1 and break this down. Receive one who is weak in the faith, but do not dispute over doubtful things. You see, saints, the key word is accept. Accept. Which also means receive or welcome. You see, my friends, believers in the church in the Rome during this time came with a wide variety of backgrounds. Well, so do we today. Come on, a lot of us are different ethnicities, right? The customs I grew up probably were not the customs you grew up. Because I grew up in a Filipino custom, also a Mexican custom. But let's just say you're a black family. You didn't grow up with customs of Filipinos or Mexicans. It was your culture. It was your ethnicity. Well, when you look at the church, we're a melting pot. We're all ethnicities come together under one spirit. And so this is where we have to learn from one another instead of belittling one another. Can I get amen? I want to know your custom. I want to learn how you live. I want to share my life with you. And maybe we can learn from each other and build each other up. Maybe you want to taste some of the foods that I grew up with. You may love it. Or you may not. I don't know. As we've already seen, saints, the major differences were between Jewish believers and Gentile believers. Obviously, the Jews were kosher. Okay? And the meat had to be kosher. You know, I found out how they make meat kosher. They would have to, you know, kill the animal and hang the animal for almost a day or so that all the blood would totally drain out. And then the rabbi would have to bless it, and then it'd become kosher. There was no blood in the animal. And so there's only one meat company that does this in San Diego County. It's the Rouse in La Jolla. It's the only kosher meat department in the whole county. Yeah. And it says it right there. Kosher department. It's the only one. And then right down the street, there's a multi-million dollar synagogue. Because a lot of Jews live in that area. A lot of them live in that area. I go, Rabbi, how come you're not Rabbi? Oh, I don't get that kind of money. So they sent him to Chula Vista. But there were other differences, we know that. Some believers were slaves. Some were masters. Some were wealthy. Most were poor. In addition, saints of God, they were all different stages of spiritual maturity. Just like when we get saved. Come on, some of us, man, we came out of thug life. Some of us, man, I'm telling you, it took me a while to put on a suit. It was like a couple of weeks that I was at North Park Apostolic Church, man. I still came in with the Pendleton. I still came in with creased Levi's. And then finally, I saw everyone came in with a shirt and tie. So I had to just get with the program. Can I get amen? Amen. But you know what allowed me to not rebel against that? The Holy Spirit. Amen. I had the joy of the Lord. And so you know what? I had so much joy that, you know what? If everyone is dressing like that, so do I. There was nothing to fight. And plus, I was thankful for God saving my life. How many still thankful that he saved your life? Come on. Every day, huh? We pray tonight, oh God, save our family. Save them. And I believe God will save if we keep crying out. But you know what? When we're not crying out, guess what? They're not going to come. God says, you're not serious.
We need to cry out. We need to pray until something happens.
Yes.
And God is faithful in that. You see, growing in the Spirit is like growing physically. Everyone grows at different rates as God works in each life. You know what? Some people get a little more mature in their faith faster than others. But does that mean that person is up to no good or he doesn't get it? No. God works in us differently.
That's right.
He deals with us because there's a lot of issues we had. Mm-hmm. Can I get an amen? And God is cutting away that fat a little bit at a time. And when I mean fat, that junk that's on us. He just slices it away. Boom, 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 boom. This is why we're pictured that we're on the potter's wheel. He's molding us and shaping us. How many are still on the potter's wheel? Oh, come on. So the first instruction Paul gives the church is accept, welcome, and love one another without judging or condemning them. No matter how weak, no matter how immature or unlearned someone's faith may seem, you have to have what? Long suffering toward you. Be patient with souls. Look what the Word of God says. I found this in 1 Timothy 1:16. However, for this reason, I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus might show all long suffering. He was patient with us. Should we be patient with others? Look at this. As a pattern to those who are going to believe on Him for everlasting life, we have to have mercy. Even those souls that we cried out tonight, we need to be patient. God, I know You're going to save them. And you know, we always pray, do whatever it takes. But sometimes God will do whatever it takes. And we have to just let God be God. Can I get an amen? But just be there for them. Be there for them. Pray for them. It's okay. God's dealing with you. It's okay. He's bringing you in. Acceptance creates room for growth to continue. Rejection, though, stunts growth. So, I have a question up here. Who is weak in faith and who is strong? Listen, let me just say this. Some of your great attributes of strength may be weakness to me, and vice versa. I might be strong in areas of my life that you may be weak to. But we're not to judge in that way. We are to help one another. We are to lift up. We are to edify the body. Right? Amen? If someone's struggling in certain areas, you know what? Don't condemn them. Let's pray. You know, I'll tell you what men need and what women need. Men need other men to be accountable to one another. Women need other women to be accountable to one another. You should never be accountable to the opposite unless it's your spouse. Can I get amen?
Amen.
If it's your spouse, then you can be accountable to one another. But don't be accountable to the other, because that'll go down a dirty road, a dark road.
Backfire.
It'll backfire. Oh, that's right. And the moment you don't become friends, they know all your junk. Oh, come on. I'm saying something tonight. Every believer is weak in some areas and strong in others, as I mentioned. A person's faith is strong in an area if he or she can survive contact with sinners without falling into their patterns. This is where, you know what? We have family members, we have friends, we have acquaintances. Just always be on guard. Guard your heart. Does it mean you have to be like them? It means, you know, you're there for them. But yet, when 5 o'clock comes and I'm gone, I don't go with you where you go. You know what I mean? Some of them go to the club. Some of them do this and that. Mm-mm. I'm going to Bible study. You want to come? I'm going to church. You want to come? I'm going to go worship the King. You see the joy in my face? That comes from the Holy Spirit. Would you like some of that? God will have it. Will give you all He wants to give you. You see, my friends, the person's faith is weak in an area if that individual
must avoid certain activities, people, places, in order to protect his or her spiritual life. You know what? Have you ever heard some people, well, you know what, man? You know, I go witnessing clubs. Really? You do? Yeah. And here you are, you're witnessing, and this eye is looking at that just came in. Snap your neck just by. Oh, come on. You've come across some of them, huh? I know I have. Oh, you know, God gave me authority to go into the club and share. And matter of fact, I'm not going to mention the guy's name, but he even said it was a stripper club. Yeah, right. You're going to go in there and witness. Yeah, what are you witnessing? You're witnessing nakedness. My goodness. Help us, Jesus. Come on. This is where, let's go back to what President Trump's trying to address to the nation. Common sense. It's just common sense. Why are you going in there? To be tempted. Wow. You see, Paul says that we are not to quarrel about issues that are matters of different opinions. Because just because I differ from your opinion doesn't mean I'm right or you're wrong.
Right.
And vice versa. It means we have we should be able to agree to disagree. Mm-hmm. And then come and reason with one another. And at the end of the day, we're still friends. Can I get amen? We're not enemies. My goodness. And so we shouldn't expect everyone, even the in the best church, to agree on every subject. Look what it says in 1 Corinthians right up here. 1 Corinthians 4 or 5. Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels of the heart. See, God knows your heart, just like we saw. Well, I won't give it away in episode 3, but God sees the heart. Can I get amen?
Amen?
I don't know what's in your heart, but what he saw, praise God, he saved you. So he must have saw something worth saving. Praise God. Because he saw something in me worth saving. Because we don't deserve this great salvation. None of us do. Look at this. Then each one's praise will come from God. You know, I'd rather get praise from God than man. Because
right.
Someone can pat you on the back. Man, great job. Man, you know what? You're the next best thing of than sliced bread. And then they walk out of your life. Some may walk out of your life huffing and puffing and never talk to you again. You see, but God, when he praises you, is because he praises you. Like no other. He's not like a man that will take things back. Thank you, God. And so through sharing ideas, we could come to a fuller understanding of what the Bible teaches. Can I get amen? Our basic approach should be to accept, listen to, and respect others. That's what God calls us to do. Because why? Because differences of opinions need not cause division. I may like the color teal. You may hate it. But are you going to hate me because I wear teal? No. You just won't wear it because you don't like that color. And that's great. But some people, it becomes a stumbling block to them. My goodness. And so they can be a source of learning and richness in our relationships. The difference of opinion. Let's go to verse 2 of Romans chapter 14. Look at this. For one believes he may eat all things, but he who is weak eats only vegetables. Let me just say this. Just because someone has become a vegetarian doesn't mean they're weak. Or someone that just only eats meat, that won't eat veggies. They're not weak. That's their preference. That's their preference. They're still alive. So it's keeping them alive. Can I get amen?
Let them enjoy what God put on this earth. Some of you wouldn't like some of the Filipino dishes my dad used to cook up, like dinagon. If I told you what that was, you'd say, I won't touch that with a 10-foot pole. It's pork boiled in pig's blood. It's called dinagon. Man, no. I used to cringe at that stuff. But yet, there's people that love it. They'll lick up the spoon. I'm just being real tonight. Should we hate them for that? No. No. Here's some more. Eat more. Eat as much as you want. As long as it puts a smile on your face. See, you see, believing it is all right to eat anything may refer to freedom from certain Jewish dietary restrictions. And we know that. How many years did we serve at Temple Beth Shalom?
13 years.
How many, sister?
13 years.
And everything in that kitchen needed to be kosher.
Wow.
Oh, yes.
Except for the beans, right?
Except for the chili beans.
Yeah. Sister Tammy brought him some killer chili beans. Rabbi went in there, had 3 bowls. We didn't have a heart to tell him, man, there was poke in that beans.
Oh, no.
It was too late. He had ate the first one. Oh, what are we going to do? Have him go to the bathroom and cough it up? You just have to put her hand down. You see, when Jews became Christians, many still would be concerned about the proper preparation of food according to their laws. And some believers, saints of God, were more sensitive and would eat only vegetables, most likely for fear that meat might have been improperly prepared or offered to idols. Now, right down the street, around the corner from us, is a supermarket called Ranch, 99? It's Chinese ranch. Now, we don't know if they're praying to idols and lifting up their meat to idols. All I know is this. Before I chow down anything, I say, in the name of Jesus, thank you for this meal, Lord, and bless this meal. Can I get amen? And if it's been lifted up to idols, we curse it right now in Jesus' name and break every curse. You have to just, not be so dogmatic about certain things in life. And so then we would always be fearful of anything we brought home from any supermarket. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Once again, it comes down to common sense. Common sense. So how could Christians end up eating meat that had been offered to idols? An ancient sacrificial system was the center of religious, social, and domestic life in the Roman world. So Paul knew about this concern. You got to remember, he was a rabbi of all rabbis. He was taught under the feet of Gamaliel. He was from the line of Benjamin. This guy was a rabbi of all rabbis. He was the attorney of the day. This is why God saved him, because he knew so much of the Old Testament. It was embedded in him. And he would operate in the wrong reasons. But God says, I'm not going to change his character. I'm just going to save his soul. And then he will learn to obey me. Isn't that something? Look, when God saved you, he didn't change your character. You're still the same person. Hallelujah. But he just filled you with his spirit. So now you have embraced him, because the Bible says, while we were yet still sinners, he died for us. So he first loved us. And because he first loved us, now we love him in return. He made the initial contact with us. Were you looking for God? No, no one was. Matter of fact, we're from the old country and western song.
looking for love in all the wrong places. Oh, come on. We used to think that everything that was against the will of God was going to be the fulfillment of my life. How many partners did we go through? How many pipes did we go through smoking? How many bars and how many drinks did we go through? Thinking that that was going to fill the void. And little did we know, we were really searching for God.
Amen.
He put that in us to search for Him.
That's right.
But we had to go through what we had to go through. You know why He allowed us to go through? Because now we can testify to a world that doesn't know Him, that God can deliver from the guttermost to the uttermost. Can I get an amen in the house? Thank you, God. He saved us. He saved us. But look what Paul wrote to the Corinthian church. It was a strong reminder of their former paganism that might weaken their newfound faith. Right here in 1 Corinthians 8, look at this. But food does not condemn us to God. Look at that. Or commend us to God. For neither if we eat, are we the better? Nor if we do not eat, are we the worse? But be aware, look at this, lest somehow this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to those who are weak. Case in point, let's just say you're a vegetarian. And next to you in the same church is a meat eater. Does that make you or him or that person weaker than you? No. You say, praise God. This is your conviction? That's not my conviction. So you go on and do what God has shown you. Or whatever you desire in your heart to sustain your life. But don't let it be a stumbling block. You know, there's some folks, man, I remember, man. I'm telling you, when I first got saved, you had to dress a certain way. You had to look a certain way. You had to say a certain thing, man. I'm telling you, it was like, man, I'm... Whew. And if you didn't line up, you're probably not saved. Huh? You remember that, brother? Oh, man. Quick story. Two young girls, 18, 19 years old, two of them came, got saved. And on a Saturday, they went into Woolworth. Remember Woolworth?
Mm-hmm.
It was right there on Plaza Boulevard. And so they were in there. And there was a mother and Zion in there at the same time. And they were wearing pants. They were rebuked so hard. They never came back again. Someone's going to give an account for that. Can I get amen? This is what Paul was saying tonight. I'm not going to define your spirituality because you choose to wear pants this day. Help us, Jesus. Help us, God. Look at verse 10. For if anyone sees you who have knowledge eating in an idol's temple, will not the conscience of him who is weak be emboldened to eat those things offered to idols? And because of your knowledge shall the weak brother perish from whom Christ died for? Wow! Look at verse 12. But when you thus sin against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, you sin against Christ. See, this is what the church won't teach on. They avoid these scriptures. Why? Because, oh, this is controversial. No. God said to love them. Raise them up. They'll get it sooner or later.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Therefore, if food makes my brother stumble, I will never again eat meat, lest I make my brother stumble. Wow. It's a serious indictment from heaven when we treat people because they don't line up according to your will and your ways. You got to love them through it. Love people through it. Can I get amen? Amen. If God showed you a way, doesn't mean they're going to get it right away. Love them through it. Pray for them. Because the moment you start crushing their little faith that they have, you won't see them again. And then you'll stand before God. What did you do to these little sheep? You scattered them. Wow. Remember he says, what did Jesus tell the apostles? Hinder not the children to come unto me, for such is like the kingdom of God. So we must humble ourselves and be like childlike. Because if God loved the natural little children, he says we must become like them. And little children are innocent. They're sinful, but they're innocent. They don't know they're sinning. And some people, when they first get saved, they may still do some sinful stuff, and they don't know it just yet. God's working on them. I've heard it like this. Don't scale that fish that God just brought in, or you may cut too deep and they start bleeding. Wow. Jesus, help us. Help us. This is why we need teachers to teach this. So we have a clear understanding on how we are to entreat one another without that legalistic spirit. Amen. There's got to be grace in our life. There's got to be long-suffering. There's got to be, you know, boldness, yet meekness. Not weakness, but meekness. Be like Moses. Moses was meek. And so let's move on to verse 3 of Romans chapter 14. Let not him who eats despise him who does not eat, and let him who does not eat judge him who eats, for God has received him. Once again, who are we to judge someone that God received? So all of a sudden we put on the robe? We become the judge? Saints, when believers differ over scruples of matters of opinion, they must not look down on or condemn each other. God says don't do that. The Greek for look down on means despise or reject with contempt. We can't look down on them. I remember this one brother that became a powerful witness to God. First got saved. Still had a tendency to keep smoking his cigarettes. And then God eventually delivered him.
Amen.
God had to speak to him.
Yeah.
You know, you could speak to him all day long, but you can't open his ears and you can't open his eyes. And the more you keep harping, the more it's going to make him feel like more belittled. And then it's not conviction from the Holy Spirit. It becomes condemnation from our mouth. You got to let God do it. He knows. They know. Let God do it. Now just pray for them. Pray for them in your closet room. Cry out for them. Look what Paul wrote to the Corinthians right here. Therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give no offense either to the Jews or to the Gentiles or Greeks or to the church of God. Just as I also please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many that may be saved. You see, if you come hard on people, how are they going to get saved? Are they going to see the love of God in you? Or are they going to see a tyrant? Man, man, man. Here comes Mr. Finger Pointer. Oh, come on. You should be a fresh breath of air when you come into their midst. This person prays for me when I need them. This person knows how to get a hold of God for me. They need that.
They need to know that I can trust this person because they know who God is. And they know they're not walking with God. But if they see that you are, they need something to trust. And you have to teach yourself to be trusted by them. So you're not going in there and cutting them up and then leaving them there to bleed. Jesus, help us. You see, my friends, the stronger one faces the temptation to despise the weaker brother or even sister. The weaker one is in danger of condemning the stronger brother or even sister. Neither attitude sends to God is acceptable to God. Believers should not condemn each other for their different opinions. Why? Because God does not. We got to be like God. Amen? Instead, God has accepted them both. He has accepted the worst of the worst sinners. And guess what? That's you and I. Because we were the worst of the worst. What makes us high and mighty? Nothing. We are nothing. We are humbled by the cross. Paul responds to both brothers and sisters in love. Both are acting according to their consciousness, but their honest scruples do not need to be made into rules for the church. Our principle should be in essentials, in unity, not non-essentials, liberty, and everything should be laced in love. Can I get amen? They need to see the love of God in us. Let's move on now to verse 4 of Romans chapter 14, and it says, who are you to judge another servant? Ooh. Man, I love Paul, because you know what? He starts cutting it up. He's bold. Look who he's writing to. He's writing to a Roman church that never knew God at one time. So the majority were Gentiles. But look what he said. He says, who are you to judge another servant? To his own master he stands or falls. Indeed, he will be made to stand, for God is able to make him stand. Wow. You know what God is saying in a nutshell in this verse? Why you want to give up on your brother and sister that maybe not, in your eyes, don't get it? They're always failing and stumbling and falling. But guess what? Right there in the Word of God says, God will make them stand one day. We can't. We can't even give them a temporary kickstand. But God can make them stand. God is able to make them stand. Hallelujah. You see, every believer will be judged by God alone. Therefore, saints of God, believers have no right to condemn one another. Each person is accountable to Christ, not to others. Can I get an amen? This is what I found that was written down of the words and the voice and the mind of Jesus. Matthew 7, look at this. Why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye, and look, a plank is in your own eye? Meaning you're trying to convict somebody, and in your own private life, you're worse off than they are. Trying to make yourself look mighty. Look at this. A plank that's in your eye. And then, man, this is Jesus saying this. This ain't Paul. This ain't the apostle. This is Jesus saying. What did he just say right now? Look at this. Hypocrite. First remove the plank from your own eye. And then you will see clearly to remove the speck out of your own brother's eye. Wow. And you know what God is saying? Search your own heart first. You know, if you're going to go help a brother and sister,
You better go prayed up and watch what you say to them. Because when you start condemning them, God will bring up to your mind the things that you're holding back to him. And every now and then we hold stuff back, don't we? Until God says, you need to give that to me. It's going to destroy you. And then we give it up. Because we're his. And nobody had to tell us to give it up. He tells us, give it up. Like, what did we see yesterday, brother? What Samuel told Saul? He said this. Don't you fear God? That's the problem. Does anyone fear God? If you fear God, you'll give up anything God says give up. But you got to understand who he is. You got to understand that we're not to fear man. We're to fear God. Help us, God. Help us through this. We all need help in this area. Every one of us, including me. What's good for the goose is good for the gander. Can I get amen?
Amen.
I'm hoping someone's getting something out of this message tonight. If anything, I'm getting something out of it for me. You know, what's that old saying? I got to get mine. I got to get mine tonight. Can I get amen? You got to get yours. Look at this. Look at Luke. Look at Luke 6:37. Judge not and you shall not be judged. Condemn not and you shall not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. Wow. That's one of the hardest things. Especially when someone walks out of your life. Can you still forgive them? And they could be the nasty person that just left you. Slammed the door on you. Walked away from you. Never again to be with you anymore. And usually you find that in marriages. Spouses. You walk out. Get up and gone. Can you still forgive them? That's the toughest thing that someone will have to do. But God says you got to forgive them. Because you know when you start releasing that to God, he will give you joy you can't comprehend. And he won't let you focus and drown in that sorrow. A brighter day will come. Can I get amen? He will brighten your day. He will say, you know, okay, that's okay. I'm not going to destroy that person, and neither will your mouth destroy that person. Move on now and start praising me, serve me, and watch what I'm going to do in your life. Because he's the God that can do.
That's right.
Can I get amen?
Amen?
Remember that. He's the God that can do and will do.
Amen.
Thank you, God.
Look
at Luke 6:41 right up here. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not perceive the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, brother, let me remove the speck that is in your eye? So Luke is saying this like Matthew, huh? Brother, let me remove the speck in your eye when you yourself do not see the plank that is in your own eye. And then Jesus goes again, hypocrite. First remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck that is in your brother's eye. You know what? If God has to say this more than once, he means it. He's saying something. You see, Matthew first wrote it down, and then Luke is his witness. He's testifying. He's being a witness. Look what Paul wrote to the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians 4. But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by a human court. In fact, I do not even judge myself. For I know nothing against myself, yet I am not justified by this. But he who judges me is who? The Lord. Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes, who will bring both to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels of the hearts. Then each one will pray. Look at this. Then each one's praise will come from God. So don't take out your cake before it's cooked. You ever took out a cake? Man, it's still soggy in the middle. I should have left it in there. And then it fell. It just sunk. Huh? Because you were too eager to eat it. Got to cool this thing off and put some ice cream on it. No. Listen. Don't be like that with people that are going through. And if someone's done you wrong, let it go. Don't wish hard, bad things to them. You know why? Because when you start harping and say, oh God, get them, God, you're being like a witch and a warlock. That's what they do. They want evil to happen to them. They want to put a curse on you. God, don't let us pray like that. You know what we should pray for? God, save them, God. Give them a mind to be saved. Give them a heart to repent. Oh, God. Oh, save them like you saved me, God. But don't wish anything bad on them. You know what? Cry out mercy. Mercy on them, oh, God, like you've given mercy to me. Save them, oh, God. I'm still going to pray. I'm still going to believe that you're going to bring them, God. When you start crying out like that, God will hear your cry. You think those prayers don't go unnoticed with God? He hears everything at once. When you're praying like that, He hears the Chinese brother in China praying at the same time. Amen. And so while the church must be uncompromising in its stand against activities that are expressly forbidden by Scripture, such as adultery, homosexuality, murder, theft. We know that. We know that that's a grievous sin. And we're not to indulge in that. But if someone's living that lifestyle, just say, oh God, save them. Give them a mind to be saved. Give them a heart to repent, oh God. Lord, save them like you saved me, because we were all part of that lifestyle. And don't think you weren't, because you were. And guess what? Even if you didn't indulge yourself in that, you still thought of it. Jesus said, just because you didn't commit the adultery, but you undressed that person in your mind, you just committed it. Well, come on. That's what the Word says. So we're all guilty when we stand before God. This is why it takes a walk of humility. Yeah, God brought me to a place to teach, because you know all He's done with pastors around the world is just feed my sheep. And so I've been privileged in that, and God appointed me to just feed the sheep. But guess what? I'm still a sheep too. I still go bah too. I haven't overcome nothing. I'm still striving like you guys. I'm still working out my own salvation with fear and trembling. We all have to. Amen? You see, when we stand before God's judgment seat, we won't be worried about what our Christian neighbor has done. No, you know why? Because you got to take care of you. I don't care what they've done. That's them. That's between them and God. Oh, God, make my life count between me and thee. Between me and you, God. Let's move on. Oh, let's look at this scripture I found in 2 Corinthians 5:10. Look at this. For we must all, say that with me, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Listen, this is not the white throne judgment. This is Christ judging the church. We're all going to stand before him. Look, in the judgment seat of Christ. Okay, all of us, every believer, we're going to give an account. And if God finds us being cruel to someone, guess what? He's going to start deducting some of the treasure that he stored up for us. Because the Bible says
Some may even lose what? Gold, silver, and bronze. And you may be reduced to hay, stubble, wood, stubble, and hay. But then it goes on to say, yet you'll still be saved. So listen, I don't want to go in with my backside having smoke on it. I just got in. Can I get an amen? I want to stand before God. God, did my life mean something? Did I help my brother? Did I help my sister? God, did I do what you called me to do, God? And when the flesh didn't want to do the things that you asked, yet we learned how to crucify our flesh and still did the things that you've asked us to do. God, this is what we're going to stand before God and say, God, I hope that was pleasing to your eyes, God. Even in the midst of my sin. Because we can't stand before God. Even, you know what? This flesh still sins. This mind still sins. So we're going to stand. So let's move on to verse 5. Verse 5. One person esteems one day above another. Another esteems every day alike. Let each be fully convinced in his own mind. And for the Jews, listen, don't. I need you guys to catch this, because we're going to move on to we're not going to stay long on this verse. But I enjoy teaching on the seven feasts of the Lord, because Christ is involved in that. But we cannot be like the Jewish faith, because they don't even believe that Christ was in it. So we see the parallel. We see Christ in it. But we don't become a Jew to prove to them that now we're Christ followers. No, we're Gentiles. We're a new person. And so let God raise you up. Listen, you ever come across those Sabbath bashers? You don't worship on Saturday. You're not accepted into the kingdom. Oh, how many have you come across? I come across so many. I go, really? So your denomination saved me? Your denomination washed me in the blood? Your denomination filled me with the Holy Spirit? Or was it Jesus Christ who did it himself? Take your dogmatic doctrine and keep doing what you feel like God called you to do. But you know what? He didn't call me that direction. Can I get amen?
Amen.
I throw this scripture at them and they can't defend it. It's right up here. In Colossians 2:16, look at that 17. Let no one judge you in food or in drink, or regarding festival, or a new moon, or even Sabbaths. Did you catch that?
Yeah.
Which are a shadow of things to come, but the substance is of Christ. Every day is a Sabbath day to us, because we worship Him every day. We don't wait till Saturday to come. We don't DVR the cartoons Saturday morning and watch them later. You show them this, they can't defend it. Well, you're not, you know, he says right here, let no one judge you. What do you not get on this? What do you not understand? Let no one judge you in food or in drink regarding a festival, which is one of the seven feasts of the Lord, a new moon, or even Sabbaths, which are a shadow of things to come. Listen, when Jesus comes, and if he tells all of us to come on a Saturday, we will come. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Because he will tell us directly.
Mm-hmm.
He wouldn't have to tell an organization to say you're wrong. God will tell us. And is he going to throw us out with the baby and with the bathwater because we didn't? No. He saved us. He's responsible for all of us. And he's caring for us right now. And so, just remember that. Let's move on to verse 6 of Romans. He who observes the day observes it to the Lord. And he who does not observe the day to the Lord, he does not observe it. He who eats to the Lord, for he gives God thanks. And he who does not eat to the Lord, he does not eat. And gives thanks also to God. So when it comes to differences of opinion between believers or matters of conscience, saints of God, each believer should respond just to the Lord. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Because everyone's conscience will always be opinionated. But let God direct us. Let God answer us. If we question those kind of things, we question God. God help us. Look at was written in 1 Timothy 4:5. For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. So whatever God gives you, man, if you got some panda food from Panda, whatever it's called, Panda Express, just pray over it. Say, God, thank you for this meal. And man, you take, or carne asada burrito, don't matter. You just pray and say, God, thank you for this meal. Thank you for the bowl of soup. Thank you for the salad. Thank God for everything. Thank you for the job. Thank you for a roof over my head. Thank you for the clothes you have given me. Thank you for my friends. Thank you for my church. Thank God for everything in your life, because it all comes from God. It all comes from Him. And so the great principle of freedom should guide us. We are to dedicate our actions, our attitudes, and all of our habits to the Lord. Because you know why? It's not what goes in you that defiles you. It's what comes out of you. Where does it say that, preacher? Right up here. Look. Matthew 15:11. Not what goes into the mouth defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth, this defiles a man. Meaning, our stinking heart, our conscience, our sinful nature will come out some disgusting stuff. It's not what you eat. The burrito's not going to cause you to curse, okay? Can I get amen? Your little pint of ice cream that... Oh, come on. I'm just making it real tonight, right? Just making, trying to sense out of this.
Yeah.
Common sense. It's all about common sense. Thank you, God. You know, thus, whether we are setting aside a day to honor God or eating different kinds of food or refusing to eat certain kinds of food, in all cases, we must always want to please the Lord in all the things we do, right? So if I tell you guys, listen, you know, for the next couple months, I'm going to be fasting, praying, be, you know, maybe go on a Daniel fast. Don't get mad at me. I won't get mad at you if you do that. I'll say, man, I hope God strengthens you through this. That you'll hear from God. If God has called you to do that, you know what? I'm going to pray that God will strengthen you through it. God, help us. Because a lot of times, we need to hear from Him. Amen?
That's right.
And so the questions that others ask us about our convictions should cause us to ask, am I doing this out of respect for God? Am I doing it to honor God? Or am I doing it to please man? Always remember, whatever we do it unto the Lord. Amen? Verse 7, we got two more verses to break down. For none of us lives to himself, and no one dies to himself. Wow. You know what Paul said about that? Look at this, in Galatians 2:20. He says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. I want you guys to repeat that verse with me. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. That's who's living in us. And look at this. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. See, God gave himself for you. So despite on how he found you, many of us he found in the dumpster. Some of you were goody good two shoes. You are morally sound, but still sinfully dead spiritually. There are some people that, you know, could go all, they never went to a party, they never drank, they never smoked, they never did none of that, you know, they never cursed. But they're still sinful, and they still need to be saved. Can I get amen? Everyone needs Jesus. The Bible says everyone needs to be born again. That's the only way you're going to be right before God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Saints, if demonstrating our freedom causes us to act in an uncaring, even a hurtful way toward other believers, then we are not yet free. Because now we're carrying on bondage. And we're trying to put people in bondage under our own yoke. You catch that? You're trying to put your own yoke on them. We can't go there. We can't do that. Look what he wrote to the Philippian church. Philippians 1:20. According to my earnest expectation and hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. For to, look at this, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. You catch that? You're going to gain when you die. And a lot of times what he meant too as well, learning how to die to self. Not just die and say, I'm gone, I'm out. No, learn to die to the things of this world. Learn to die to the things of God. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Learn. We live to him and we die to him. Our relationship with the Lord is more important than life or death. Can I get amen?
Amen.
And life and death are more important than religious observances. And so we're going to look at our last verse 8, and then we'll close. For if we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Thank you, God. So all of our discussions will never interfere with our relationship to Christ, saints of God, who is our Lord and Savior, Jesus. It is the Lord's judgment that matters. Not our judgment. We're to judge no one. With respect to the way we treat other believers, saints of God, we ought to consider the question, am I treating people as though they also belong to the Lord? Am I treating them like they belong to God? Or do you think you're the only one that belongs to him? Think again. He's got billions of children around the world. And even the saints of the past that have already gone on to be with them. And so know this right here, and I believe this is the scripture we'll end with. Yeah, look at this. He wrote this in 1 Corinthians 6:19. Look at this. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not of your own? See, we have no claim to this body no more. For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit. Which what? It belongs to God. It belongs to him. Praise God. We belong to God. I hope we got something out of this study tonight. Because I really believe God spoke to all of us tonight. And even though, even those who are on Facebook and YouTube that have tuned in. And this is my focus now to those who are online. If you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, this would be a great opportunity to do so. You may have stumbled onto our website. I don't know. Maybe you've logged in before, and maybe, just maybe, things, you haven't connected the dots. Maybe God has connected the dots tonight, and now you see clearly that you need to surrender your heart to Him. So if that's you, I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family to pray with me to pray for you, that you would surrender your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, and you would begin your journey, and you would grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and God would seal your faith with Him, and you will forever live with Him forevermore when this body finally goes back to the dust. And so if that's you, bow your heart and your head and pray this prayer by faith. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank You, God, for my life. I do believe on Your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that You died for me, and the blood that You shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask You now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor You and to follow You all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give God a shout. Hallelujah in the house. Come on, is He worthy? Man, I'm telling you, thank you. Thank you for those of you.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening. Hallelujah.